Good morning. This is Word Made Flesh, the radio ministry of Neighbors of Hope. We'll share struggles and triumphs and how through the Word, everyone can experience the loving and healing reality of Christ's compassion. Now here's the Neighbors of Hope Executive Director, Pastor Stephen Palmer, with this week's Word.
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Welcome to this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. How are we doing?
Good. All
right, not bad. Kind of, sun's been out here recently. A slight increase in temperature over the polar vortex a few weeks ago. All right, so starting, and spring training, right, is going on in Florida. So we know it's right around the corner as we get ready to close out the month of February here of 2019. In preparation as we approach the Lenten season, we've been studying here at Neighbors of Hope. A series we do annually on forgiveness. And forgiveness is a core message that comes out of the Gospels. It's an imperative character of those who claim to follow Christ. It's very important. And it sets us up well for the Lenten season when we get into our Lenten study. Because it challenges all of us. To coincide with that, today I'd like to have us look at the letter of James. And traditionally, James is a book of ethical wisdom. Right? It's got a lot of it'd be like James saying, well, if you're really gonna follow my brother, you need to do this. All right, and we have to be real cautious when we read James, because sometimes we can read that as a list of ethical activities we need to engage in, to where it just becomes about the doing. Right? But what James is really confronting are people who hear but aren't doing. So he's not severed. We don't want to get caught up there, because we presume we've already heard this, so then it's about the doing. He's really challenging them that, look, if God has encountered your life, God wants to work through your life and into the lives of others. So James would say, much like we all saw God do in my brother Jesus. Right? That's why he forgave them on the cross. That's why he was humble. That's why he was compassionate. That's why he was slow to anger, etc., etc., etc. So now Jesus has been crucified, resurrected. James encounters him post-resurrection, pre-ascension. And he finds validation. Because you got to imagine, if you're James, you're growing up, he's going, what? Yeah, he got mom and dad probably telling the stories. I mean, he hung out with Jesus. He knew his brother pretty well, yada, yada. But, you know, imagine being in that family. You're sitting around the dinner table, and we all know how kids can get jealous and how kids can get envious and how... And I don't want to imply that Mary, you know, and we're just trying to create this image here, that Mary and Joseph were showing favoritism to Jesus, that somehow, you know, they were told he's going to be the Messiah. He's the one who's going to save, right? Save their people from their sins. Right? He's the chosen one. You know, like, how's come Jesus, right? How's come Jesus gets it? No, I don't think it's so much that, but I'm not sure Mary and Joseph fully comprehended what that meant. Right? If we go back to our Advent study in the infancy narratives, I mean, really, what? How do you handle being encountered, both of them, being encountered by angels? And then being told this, and then what's that look like? Because he just kind of looks like a normal boy to me. He just kind of, right? All those type of things. And then you have to be these parents and try to explain to the siblings. When you're not sure. You say, I mean, that could create maybe a classical sibling, lack of a better term, animosity towards each other. That, you know, you say in family dynamics, that might be somewhat normal. I said all that because as James traveled with Jesus, he wasn't necessarily a full advocate, so to speak. There may have been some envy. Seriously? I grew up with this guy. This guy is nothing special type thing. Until Jesus dies. Until the resurrection and the ascension. And James says, oh boy. Now I get it. And so it's out of that kind of that, you know, and that's a very loose narrative, but it paints a pretty good picture. And really what we see, the resurrection, the power, because then it's at Pentecost, James is baptized by the Holy Spirit. It's at Pentecost, post-resurrection, James is baptized by the Holy Spirit, the very brother of Jesus. He wasn't baptized by the Holy Spirit when Jesus was walking. You see, I mean, this is a guy who walked with him, grew up with him. It wasn't necessarily fully convinced. Now, oh boy, how things have changed. Now he knows that he knows that he knows. And he says, look at, if you're gonna claim to be one of my my brother's followers, right, it needs to look like this. So, having set up a reading in that context, okay, what I'd like to have us look at is James chapter 1. Verses 19 through 27. So, Mark, would you be willing to read?
I would.
You're such a good reader. Every week. We really enjoy that.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and flawless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world.
Very good. Very good.
Thank you.
All right. I've spoken enough so far. What are some of your first thoughts, comments, questions?
Yeah, I think like in the world that James was living in, this could be, even then, it could be difficult to follow, but now in this, you know, our modern age of instant gratification and when we have outlets to, shall we say, divert ourselves around every corner, the comfort of our own homes, it's an even bigger challenge, but no less of an obligation.
Amen.
And even even after applying, you know, all the things I've learned in the Life Change program, and even in the Fresh Start program, just by being associated with the Life Change guys, I saw something in them that I wanted. You know, they didn't have those same distractions. And I'm not saying they were perfect Christians, because I wasn't when I went to the program. But it's what the biggest driving force behind me wanting to join it was that God provided for me after moving in. But yet now that being a graduate, I look at this a little differently, because I'm life change. I kind of went without those amenities for a while, and it was a little difficult at first. I got a little used to it. Now that I have it all back, I'm kind of like a little more thoughtful about all this stuff. And sometimes I catch myself like falling back into old ways. And now I'm really thinking about, you know, how much am I reading the Bible in my spare time of my own volition, as opposed to when I'm required to as per my program?
Several things. Thank you. It's interesting, and I've said it over and over to our life change guys. You know, we're out there in the world, and for our listening audience, I'm putting up the finger quotation sign, the world, and we're trying to function, and then we land here, and I say, well, God takes you out of that, free of charge, all right, blesses you with a year to kind of redirect, restructure, right, your spiritual direction. And then all of a sudden, well, now we've matured in some of that, we have a pretty good foundation, we've been equipped with the tools to re-enter what we came out of. And that re-entry is always going to be challenging. All right? And James, I like your insight. James is speaking to people. It's like, look, we're living in a cultural dynamic. Let's call it the Roman Empire, right? Would still be around, and it thinks it is the fifth and final kingdom. But we all know what my brother bought is the true kingdom. And so we're surrounded by this reality of others who believe this king, you know, this fifth, the Roman kingdom is it. But yeah, we know there's this other kingdom that's alternative. And it's the true final kingdom. How do we live in the midst of all this? And it's challenging. Thus, Paul writes a lot of, you know, while you're living there, this is how we should be doing things. So be gentle with yourself, mm-hmm. All right? But remember where God brought you from, what God has equipped you with, in preparation of God believes you can do it. Mm-hmm. All right? Any other thoughts?
I think it's about, like, to me, I really look at it, it's this challenge to reflect upon yourself. To really look at, I claim myself as this, I claim myself as a follower, but am I doing what a follower should be doing, you know? Like, am I doing the work? Because I can sit here and follow this list of guidelines, like saying, check them all. What am I truly, really doing the work to do that? Do I just do enough to get on the list so I can get to heaven, or am I doing it for the right reasons? You know, is this about me, or is it about His work, about my Father's work? Is it about accomplishing what He gave us the ability to do? You know, and I think when, like, especially that first kind of sentence right there, where it says, you know, quick to listen, mm-hmm. slow to speak, and slow to become anger. It's so easy for us to start listening to the nonsense that's going out in this world right now with media and things like that, and to quickly get so boiled up and angry about it, but we're not really listening to the call. We're not really listening. We're not sitting back and listening to what people are really trying to say, and people are really trying to say, I'm in pain. I'm people are not feeling well, and we're not listening to that call for help. We're just getting angry because we taking the offense to whatever that, and we disagree with it, and no matter, we're not, and that's all. Everybody's doing that a lot of times. No one's really reflecting on how I can help be part of making change.
Excellent insight. It's really a 21st century sociological critique. I'm in agreement with that. The challenge is then, when we're all hurting, it creates such anxiety.
Yeah.
Because who really cares about me? Now, this is where I think James is coming back and saying, yeah, okay, we can listen to things that are going on in the world, but sometimes we're not very good hearers of what's going on inside me.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, gentlemen. I appreciate all of your insights. So until next week, God's grace, peace, love, and joy be with you all.
Thank you for listening to Word Made Flesh. Neighbors of Hope brings people hope through a comprehensive suite of Christ-centered programs that include the Men's Ministry, Blessings and More Resale Store, our Third Day Farm Project, Fishes and Loaves Food Pantry, and of course, our radio ministry, Word Made Flesh. We're also in the process of establishing a women's and children's transitional housing program. Find out how you can become a neighbor of hope at neighborsofhope.com. And please join us again next Sunday morning for Word Made Flesh.